the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Joining me is Heather Certain, the founder and CEO of Above the Glass. It's great to have you here. I want to know, what is some of your best advice to make sure you can be successful in your first year?
So I'm going to have to actually go against that question and say, it's not about being, you know, universally successful. It's about defining what success is to you.
I love that.
I think a lot of people put pressure on themselves to achieve, you know, X amount of, you know,
gotta
revenue.
Make $1 million.
Yeah, you got to make $1 million in the first year. And I think the first year is about building a solid foundation and building something small, starting small, proving your concept and, you know, maybe like starting with one product. And then proving the success of that product, which then leads to something else. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think a lot of us try to get ahead of ourselves and just put it all out there and like automatically reach success. But sometimes it's about building a community and building a brand. And, you know, that will really set you up for long-term success.
But first, getting really clear on what success even looks like and means to you.
Yeah. And also getting your structures into place. So you want to have your legal structures in place. Mm. You know, if you have a co-founder, you want to basically, you know, we call it a prenup. It's really a founder's agreement. You know, you want to have, you want to think about worst case scenario and how are you protected so that once you get that stuff in place, you can just move forward at the speed of light and not even worry about it.
Yeah. When I consult with businesses, I try to say, let's figure out what the end looks like. Start with the end in mind and then reverse engineer. You guys do something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, what is your 5-year plan? Mm. You know, not as, what is
you're probably going to throw it out the window after 5 years.
Right. But what is your goal?
But have an idea. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you working towards? And you need to just like celebrate every victory. So if you say 1 year, like how do I achieve success in 1 year? It's like, well, maybe you don't, but like, this is the long game. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You need to have your endurance. You need to really like keep the end goal in mind and be willing to pivot.
For me, let's break it down and make it super simple. If we were going to come up with just a couple practical steps, for me, when I'm working with people to get their business successful, regardless of if it's their first year, but for this context, we're talking about the first year.
Yeah.
I tell people to figure out a business plan, a business model, the strategies, the tactics, the how to, and the what to do based off of what other people have already done. Odds are, even if you're coming up with a new product, a better mousetrap, you're getting into a niche or a vertical, somebody's already achieved success in that space. And 85 to 95% of all business models are relatively the same in every single industry. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going to get into a space in our situation, right? Consulting, coaching, advising other businesses, there's other people out there who have been doing this for decades. So it was really easy for somebody like myself to learn somebody who has an 8-figure-a-year business model in the consulting space. What is he doing? How does he generate leads? How does he convert leads? Mm-hmm. How does he build his brand? How does he get out there and differentiate himself?
Yeah.
How does he mitigate the risk on his customers so that they can, you know, easier make the decision to invest? How does he mitigate the risk on himself? So for me and my advice getting started in the first year and what helped us be successful and do 6 figures in the first year was figuring out, I call it a recipe. Anyone can follow a recipe, right? If we're terrible at cooking, but we went in the kitchen and we had the exact recipe, the exact ingredients, we could probably make the recipe, right?
Yeah.
And so in business, when you're starting off in your first year, it's crucial that you invest the time, energy, and money to create and model a recipe that already works, a recipe that's going to create an inevitable result and outcome. And then all you have to do is follow it. Do you guys do something similar?
Yeah. And that's why for us, the business plan is so important. And even though we say
you throw it out,
it is exactly that. It's the recipe. It's you're thinking through all the steps. You're figuring out, where are my margins? How much do I need to achieve? What is my go-to-market strategy? You know, you were talking about like customer acquisition. It seems to be like your bread and butter. And you
it's
know,
the lifeblood.
How are you going to do it? You know, and like you said, social media is so important. You mean, you know, we use influencers to sort of like help be our advocates and help say, this is something necessary. Like this helped me in my business. And while you might not see overnight success, like that is going to get you there.
Yeah, definitely. I think the most important thing, and I'm biased because I come from a sales and marketing background in psychology, but I think that everyone at some level, whatever way they want to look at it, will agree that without sales and marketing, a company can't survive long-term. And so for me, I think the most important thing any business can have before they focus on branding, before they focus on systems and operations, although I think those are crucial to come up with an idea of what that's going to look like for your business and to start with the end in mind, get the systems in place early on. Figure out your branding and your positioning early on. But most importantly is get down sales and marketing. Because if you have tons of sales, you can use that money to help people build your systems and your operations and your branding. Mm-hmm. Do you think sales and marketing is the most important thing?
Yeah. And we phrase it sort of differently. You know, we think of product market fit, and that is figuring out who your customer is. And, you know, you might have an idea of who they are and an idea of how to reach them, but like test it, you know, start with something small. Start with like, if you have a baking goods company and you want to start with the cooking, you think it's going to be a young child. Like, how are you going to reach that person? Why don't you test that channel? Test a few channels. And as soon as you see one that has the most traction, double down on it.
I love
that. So it's exactly sales and marketing.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me today is, who are you and what do you do?
Heather Cerdan, founder and CEO of Above the Glass.
Give us the quick elevator pitch. What is Above the Glass?
Above the Glass is an online platform that gives women tools and information to start a business from a very technical and legal standpoint.
So I just asked you to give us your elevator pitch. I think elevator pitches is something that a lot of people maybe create in their first month of their business, but then they throw it out the window. But I think if you have a really good elevator pitch, it's extremely important. I think you just did a pretty good one. Do you have any advice for people for creating their elevator pitch?
Well, I think you need to know who your audience is.
Definitely.
Right?
The problems and the struggles that your audience has.
Yeah, and how you're going to connect to them. So if you have an elevator, our market, a lot of the time, it is a woman who's a mother who maybe is a full-time mother, but wants to think about how to build something on the side and generate revenue and sort of take their time and give them something to be passionate about besides their children, because you can become so consumed and passionate about your child. And so it's talking to that woman, you know, oh, do you want to start a business? Are you intimidated? You don't know how you want something on the side.
Yeah. You tap into the story going on in their mind.
Yeah. And it's about psychology and it's about relating to people and then gearing your pitch in that way.
We have a formula that works really well, and it's, you know how, and it's the ideal client profile. So for us, it's, you know how a lot of coaches and consultants, then you go into the pain, fear, frustration. So you know how a lot of coaches and consultants struggle to generate and convert consistent leads in their business. Well, what we do is help them implement proven strategies and tactics to be able to make their income scalable and predictable. So it's like right off the bat, you know who it is, you know their fears and their struggles, and you tell them what you do and what it's going to do to benefit them. And so, you know, I think an elevator pitch is something that not a lot of people value, because you say, what do you do for a living? Some people will just say, I'm a consultant. But instead, if you said, you know how a lot of people that have small businesses, or you know how a lot of women have a great idea, they have a job, but they don't know how to take it to market and become profitable? Well, what we do is things like that. And so I think an elevator pitch can be extremely valuable. I think also leveraging social media is one of the fastest ways, if you're creating a business, to get some traction off the ground. Do you have do's and don'ts for social media?
So like I said, our target, if you think about a young mom, she is the most active user on certain social media channels. She's the most active user on Pinterest, the most active user on Instagram.
They've got the foundation already.
You're not going to find her on Snapchat. You might find her in certain parts of Facebook. So the question is, where is that person and how do you speak to them? And that's how you use the social media channels as your main communication. So, I mean, you need to, for us, brand is really important. So create social media that is true to the brand, but also that speaks to the customer.
Okay. So if somebody's struggling with their mindset and they're having limiting beliefs about, what if I fail? What if I get started? What if I make it my first year, but then I have to close shop next year? They're asking themselves all of these limiting what if scenarios. How do you help people overcome their limiting beliefs? Especially in the first year, right? I mean, that's the time when you have the most limiting beliefs.
Yeah. Well, I think that what we see as failure is really just the starting point for something new. So it's so important, if you're starting a business, you need to be open to pivoting. So you can—
What do you mean by that?
So you have an idea. This is going to work. This is going to be my target customer. Like, I am going to sell baked goods. And then you find out that your customer is not so interested in the food you're giving them, but they love your floral arrangements. Okay, so maybe I'll pivot and I'll be a florist.
It reminds me of Steve Jobs saying, he goes, and it's the reason why they became so successful, is because he said, what business should we be in? Not what business are we in? They were in the computer business, but he said, what business should we be in? And that led them to creating iTunes, the iPhone, and all these other things. And so now they're more so dominating the music and phone industry than they are the computer space. And so asking yourself, what business should I be in, instead of what business am I in? Because a lot of people in their first year, they gravitate towards, this is what we do though. And it's like, no, what should
you do?
You
need to listen to your customers and listen to your cash flow and listen to what people are asking for. Maybe they want you to provide like educational services and they don't actually want that physical product. Or, you know, you're not going to get it through local consumers. You're going to have to go through the supermarket. So you need to be open to pivoting, because that's how you're going to reach success. You're not going to reach success out the gates.
So what's your advice to people when they have to struggle with failure in their first year?
If you're not failing, then you're not trying enough things. You're not putting yourself out there. There's going to be failure, and that's going to dictate what you do next. And that's going to get you to where you need to be. But
it's learning blocks,
it's,
right?
It's part of the process. Yeah. And that's why it's so hard to be an entrepreneur. Because you are going to face failure. And there's so many successful, intelligent people who go and start businesses and they think they're just going to smooth to the end. Yeah. That's not how it works. There's failure involved.
You stick through it all the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to learn from it. You have to take every single failure. You need to, you know, wipe yourself off, stand up and be like, okay, what next? How am I going to take this forward and apply it to the next thing?
Failure is inevitable, but you got to be able to go through it if you want to be successful, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I love that. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. It can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE. You should.
Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Joining us right now is my dear friend, Dennis Yu. He's the CTO of Blitz Metrics. Get ready for this one, because this is going to be a fun segment. Dennis, tell us about Blitz Metrics, brother. What's your company?
We create jobs for young adults through mentorship, and we teach them digital marketing. And this is what an apprenticeship is, where people are actually learning and doing, and it complements the school system. And what's cool is that when you can tie the passion that these kids have, it could be the Golden State Warriors, yeah. where they like languages, like, you know, we work with Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Then they're able to do something that they love, and the employers are able to test out digital marketing staff that's actually following processes, not like social media posting kind of stuff, but driving direct revenue off of social. So we work closely with colleges. We have a lot of companies that we work with, and we work with a lot of businesses as well. So all of these, they tie together.
Something that I love about you is that you are sort of like the pioneer of the industry. And what I mean by that is you've gone out, you've done all the hard work, you've done all the studying. And as the genius that you are, this is my words, I know you're very humble, but as the genius that you are, you've gone out and you've proven, here's how a company can give us, an enterprise company can give us $1 million. And I'm just making up this example because you have way better studies than this. They'll give you $1 million and you'll turn it into a $10 million return on ad spend. In some cases, $30 million for the $1 million that they gave you.
Right.
Ridiculous return on ad spend. And that's why so many companies come to you hoping that you'll be able to do the same thing for them. And what you've done is you've taken your genius and you've turned it into, because you have a background in like programming and coding, you've turned yourself into a software and checklists and procedures that other young adults can learn to follow and then go and take your genius skills and implement that for any business. Is that accurate?
No, it's not. It's not about me. It's
I know.
A lot of people look at me because they don't realize that actually what they want is the process. So every business...
But that's what I'm saying. You've created this process.
Well,
you're just very humble.
We've wasted over $1 billion of other people's money. So there's that in the last 20 years. But look, any entrepreneur that's trying to grow a business or an existing business, we like taking those in. We're trying to find out where they're driving their sales. Can we identify exactly who their customers are? And then the idea of using online marketing, whether it's social media marketing, email marketing, is whatever's generating yield, can we get another 20%, 30% more on top of that? And there's processes that accomplish this. So it's not risky. It's not black box. There's no hocus pocus. And it's not, I mean, we have some software and we have some other things like that, but it's really just following a set of checklists, which is how do you amplify what your best customers are already doing for you? Because marketing is always about getting your customers to speak for you.
So a lot of people are making mistakes
And that's why they come to you for help. So what are some of the common mistakes people are making when it comes to spending money online?
No funnel, outsourcing to an agency without understanding what they're doing, believing it's a technical problem instead of an internal process problem, mm-hmm. trying to buy software when really they don't have processes.
Like buying Infusionsoft, because that's got to be...
Infusionsoft is great. But if you don't have a database, if you don't put content inside the tool, you know, if I have the best golf clubs in the world, I'll still get my butt kicked by whoever your favorite golf player is.
Okay.
It's not the tool.
CTO of Blitz Metrics, Dennis Yu, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. How did you get into this space? I feel like people don't just wake up and become masters of analytics. You used to run analytics at Yahoo.
Yes.
So, you know, what did you do before Blitz Metrics? And then take me back to the beginning of your story so we can figure out how you became the person that you are today. You've read over 3,000 books.
4,000 now.
4,000 now? Yeah. Jeez.
I hung out at the library. That's all I did. I didn't speak English, so that's how I had to learn. I represented California in a spelling bee in 1988, flew to D.C. Wow. I didn't speak English, and I was so antisocial, or I was so shy. A lot of us are like this. A lot of entrepreneurs, like, they feel like they have to go out and talk real fast and, you know, shake everybody's hands. Yeah. And I wasn't like that. And I like to be able to measure things. And I knew I was good at math. I'm Asian, of course. But when I was in second and third grade, I saw that the snack shack only had two or three kinds of snacks. So I would go down to the local pharmacy or drugstore or whatever, and I would buy lots of stuff and I would sell now and laters. It was like the grape
now
and strawberry and banana flavored now and laters. Yeah. And I would buy them at 5 cents and I would sell them at seven. And so I did arbitrage and I grew that larger and larger. And then I had to use a little database. And back then it was Lotus 1-2-3 because there wasn't Windows and Excel. And people would start to take loans from me because, you know, oh, can I borrow a dollar, some candy? I'll pay you when I get my allowance next week. And that's what taught me economics. That's what taught me entrepreneurship. That's what taught me it wasn't how much you get paid per hour, but it's how much value you can generate. And so I took that and I went to the London School of Economics. I went to SMU. I had some mentors. And imagine you're me. You're just some kid. You're selling things from a dormitory. You're selling $500 a day worth of stuff, which got all the other kids pissed off. And then you're thinking, how do I scale my business? I got to be able to teach other people. I've got to be able to expand the amount of shopping that I can do. And I realized that mentorship was actually the key because I knew how to get good grades. I was on a full scholarship. I ran track and field D1, that kind of thing. But the thing that I was missing, which I think entrepreneurs need to realize, is you're so busy in the execution day to day, trying to optimize your business, look at the traffic, PPC, whatever it is, that you forget the people side. And it wasn't until I got Al Casey, who is the CEO of American Airlines, he took me aside and said, "This, let me open some opportunities for you. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce you to the CEO of Morgan Stanley. Let me get you a job at I actually, my first real job was actually at American Airlines. That's how I got this whole thing. I pissed off a lot of people because I could always run to the CEO and no one could really, you know, get mad at me. But it was a combination of that mentorship against the math that really made things happen for me. And actually, if it wasn't for the fact that people opened doors for me, then I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to work at Yahoo. And then that Yahoo thing wouldn't have then, you know, escalated into what we're doing with Facebook ads and all this digital stuff, like working with you guys.
So I just have so many questions for you. I mean, we're friends, so look like I'd ask those to you, not just on the interview.
Yeah.
But from 4,000 books read, from, you know, running analytics at Yahoo and, you know, having that experience at American Airlines and now working with billion-dollar clients, what do you feel like is maybe a couple, I'd rather not just one, but a couple of some of the best lessons that you've learned on your journey that you feel like other people can benefit from?
Number one, anything that you know, document it. If people believe, and the converse is true, if someone believes that they know how to do something, I want to see a checklist on how they execute it because I know, I want to know that it can be repeated. So if I'm building a business, you can take any business and break it down into the DNA of the checklist on how they, you know, McDonald's has French fries. What, no matter what McDonald's you go to, you know, it's delicious. You know, I was in Asia all last, you know, month and I went to McDonald's in different countries, right? Think about your business processes broken into that because that is how you ensure consistency with the brand. And more importantly, it's how you attract and train your top people. So everything that we do, everything that I do, I've made sure I've documented. And when I've read all these autobiographies, I love autobiographies, not biographies, autobiographies, I'm thinking, what are the checklists that these people did? So Ray Kroc, when he built McDonald's, Sam Walton with Walmart, what were the checklists that they went through? And how can I use those checklists in my business? I don't care about the stories. I want to pull out those particular checklists. So that's number one. Number two is, I've got to actively mentor at the same time. So we as entrepreneurs, we're so busy trying to get stuff done and meetings and whatever that we forget that we have to invest in people. But if we've got these checklists in place, we can at the same time be training and mentoring other people, because you, Mark Black, as much energy and whatever as you have, you can only do so much as one person. Yeah. I can only do so much as one person. Look at the client base that we have. There's no way that Dennis Yu, even with five Dennis Yus, could actually do all those things. I have got, in fact, I don't even do any of the ads work. You know, I haven't even done ads for the last few years in terms of these particular clients, because we built these kinds of checklists. What are the things that you suffer in all the time where you have to repeat the same stuff over and over again to your clients, to your investors, to your, you know, whoever it is, take those things, automate them, right? I think automation is going to be the savior of entrepreneurs, because they end up wasting time doing the same thing over and over again. They complain how busy they are.
And that's what I love, is you've sort of reverse engineered how to become successful by learning about other people's processes. And so I'm excited to dive in with your business, because we can share kind of how you think and how you learn to implement these processes into every business to help them grow. We'll be right back with Dennis Yu. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This report is brought to you by Esurance. Natural disaster season is upon us. June brings the start of hurricane season, and severe storms this spring have already been unusually intense, with over 500 reports of tornadoes. Even if you don't think you're in an area prone to a threat, it's important to be prepared for extreme weather that could strike at any time. Meteorologist Bonnie Schneider shares tips to help you prepare for Mother Nature's worst.
Get together your basic disaster supplies, including a 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water, photocopies of your credit cards and ID, first aid kit, flashlight, a radio, and batteries. It's important to make sure your insurance is up to date and that you are properly protected. Esurance helps simplify insurance with Coverage Counselor, an online tool that helps you better understand and select coverages that may be right for you. It's just another way Esurance is making insurance surprisingly painless.
Esurance is not available in all states. For more information, visit www.esurance.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Joining us right now is Dennis Yu. He's the CTO of Blitzmetrics. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you, brother. Give us a quick recap. What's your company do?
We create jobs for young adults through training programs where the companies are subsidizing it. We do it for large enterprise companies, big brands, Golden State Warriors, Rosetta Stone, Red Bull, Nike, those kinds of things.
And you have some of the industry's highest return on ad spends. Basically, somebody gives you a dollar, you're able to give them $5, $10, $20, $40 back on their money. That may not seem exciting, except when you get into the million.
If you're an owner, you tell the owner, you put a dollar into the machine and you get back a 20, how many dollars would you like to put in?
That's what I'm
guarantee
saying.
It to?
When you only hear it as you spend a dollar, you make $20. But when you talk about spend a million, make 20 million, it starts to get really exciting. And you have some of the highest industry return on ad spends for your clients, which I think is exciting. And one of the ways that you do that is with something as simple as what you call the dollar a day strategy. You taught it to me. It's something that's helped me just exponentially grow my personal brand and not only get more awareness and engagement, but also make more money simply for spending a minimum of a dollar a day on Facebook. Talk about the dollar a day strategy that your company not only practices, but also teaches around the world to not only, you know, personal brands and companies like myself, but for huge Fortune 500 clients. What's the dollar per day strategy?
Dollar a day starts with inception, which is the dream inside the dream inside the dream. Because if you want to influence the influencer, think about the idea of a dollar when you use the advertising platform. It's not to advertise, it's to PR incept. I can reach 200 people. Who are the 200 exact people that you want to reach? How about the people who are the editor at Forbes? How about they write for the LA Times? How about they work at a particular kind of company? Yeah. If you're an entrepreneur, who is it that you want to reach? Do you want to reach people who work at your client to say hello? Do you want to reach likely clients? One of my friends wanted to get his stuff inside Walmart. He's got all the licensing for Elvis pillows and bedding and that kind of stuff. So he targeted all the people that work at Walmart in Bentonville, Bentonville, Arkansas, and do purchasing, right? And merchandising. That's a very tight group of 20, 30 people. And when you hit those people dollar a day with the right content, that results in phone calls. Yeah. So when we get cited in CNN or Wall Street Journal, we turn around and target the people who work at USA Today to see what the folks at Forbes and LA Times and these other places are writing about it. So anything that you have, you want to multiply forward. So the dollar day strategy is, how do I take a minimum dosage? Because as an entrepreneur, you're trying to get more for less. You're trying to appear bigger than you actually are. You don't have a lot of money. You're trying to look big, right? How do I minimum dosage? I want maximum output. Now, that doesn't result in sales right away necessarily, but it does result in influence if your content's good. If you tie it in with remarketing, Google and Facebook have remarketing, universal tags. There's all kinds of tech stuff there, right? And that's what it is. Just repeat, because when people see your stuff time and time again, they're going to see you as the young Tony Robbins. They're going to see us as the experts in digital marketing, because these reporters, they're writing stories. They don't know who the experts are. They have to put out a story every couple of days. You know, they're beat journalists, that kind of thing. And that's what you do. And they see that you're the one they're going to call you.
So for the average business owner out there who maybe says, cool, I'm not creating content right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just selling, you know, tacos out of my restaurant, or maybe I just have a mom and pop boutique store.
Right.
How can I benefit from the dollar a day strategy?
Interview your best customers. Think like a journalist. Pretend you're a reporter, and it's not about you. See, that's the inception angle. It's about them. So tell us about these tacos. Pretend it's a documentary and you're talking about how you make it and you're elevating your best customers. If you're a B2B software company, interview those companies. Anything except for you, because people, their little spam alert advertising, you know, never talk about yourself. It's like Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
But find things that you can share that are interesting. And if you have people that are high authority, that are well known, and you interview them and you make them look good and you're their unknown kind of PR agent, that will reciprocate, because that creates authority, right?
Okay.
Because of who you're associating with.
So once I get that footage, so for example, somebody comes to my restaurant, they eat my incredible tacos, and we've got great Yelp reviews. Instead of just having them write a Yelp review, maybe I incentivize them and I say, hey, I'll give you, you know, some free food next time you come back if you just film a quick little
video.
No,
you don't even have to do that.
Maybe,
let's say, you know, someone brings their wife to the taco restaurant, they really like it, and then they talk about how, because it's not about the food. I mean, they'll talk about how the food is good, but how did it make them feel? Why is the wife happy? How did it achieve their, you know, the Boy Scouts bring their 30 kids over and they do their party. Make it about them.
But you pull out your phone and just record that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you put it on Facebook, put it on live, dollar a day, boost it.
Targeting
on your
to
page.
People that live in the area that may be interested.
On your YouTube channel, not your personal profile. Your page is, of course, separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people need to start thinking like a journalist, I think, is something that you just said that I found interesting, because so many people haven't identified with that type of personality yet. Like, I'm a journalist and I need to start creating content and I start thinking that way. And how important do you think that is to helping people build their business? Because a lot of people, I feel like, will struggle with that. And then they'll come up with a limiting belief that, what he's talking about, maybe I don't need to do, or I won't benefit from it. I'm stuck in the old school mindset, or maybe I'll outsource this or hire this out later.
Yeah.
And it stops them from taking action on it now.
There's every excuse. Oh, I'm busy right now. I don't like how I look. I'm not like Mark Lack. I'm not super charismatic. But, you know, they're not looking at you as Beyonce or Kim Kardashian. They want to learn. And when you honestly share and you're authentic about this, people will gravitate towards you. And the idea of taking your content and putting it into a sequence, think about every one of us, even though we don't have a TV studio like this necessarily, every one of us can produce content and people are consuming it on their phone. You know, one of my friends, his name's Michael Johnson, and he's followed my stuff the last 7 or 8 years. He's a great pupil. And he had two of his friends impersonate Bernie and Trump. And they have a really good shtick. They go back and forth. I'm not even going to try to like imitate them, right? And they were able to get on Comedy Central using this dollar a day strategy. Then they took to the, what was it, like MTV, Music, all these different sort, you know, the Ellen and what are the other TV shows? I don't even watch TV. But they've gotten all these TV shows using the dollar a day thing, because everything that they see, for anyone that's watching here, they got to know, they got to overcome that initial hurdle. It's just like New Year's resolutions. So you just got to walk the first mile. You want to do a marathon? Just walk the first mile. Get the first piece of content out. Because once friends start to like, once people start to engage with you, that gives you feedback on what you do next. And it's not the kind of thing you hire an agency, you have to spend a lot of money. No, this is just you. And what I like to say is, can you create a 1 minute video? It could be a 1 minute video about why did you start your restaurant, or about your co-founder, about a problem, without selling. Because if you sound like you're selling, you're dead. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
So it simply starts with putting out content and getting yourself out there. CTO of Blitz Metrics, Dennis Yu, is joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us, Dennis Yu, an expert and genius in the area of helping people not only get their message out there, but help build their personal brand. And I love that you're saying people need to just put content out, because I struggle with it. I think a lot of people struggle with it in the beginning. You're worried about what people are going to think. You're worried you're not going to say the right things. You're worried if the lighting or the quality isn't going to be good enough.
Your first ones suck. Just
your
do
first
it.
Ones suck. My first interviews, my first speaking engagements on stages, my first videos, my first program, all of that stuff suck when you look back at it.
Yeah.
But I love what you're saying is you just have to get out. You just have to start doing it. Is there a situation, is there a context where somebody maybe shouldn't be putting content out? Or is it just kind of like, if you're serious, you're trying to sell products, you're trying to impact the world, you need to be creating content?
Depends on who you're interviewing. So if you're in the area of healthcare and legal and finance, like in cosmetic surgery, we have a couple of cosmetic surgery clients. They can't just put stuff out there. There's HIPAA rules, there's financial rules. But generally, you can do this with permission, and you'd be surprised at how often people will give you permission. Yeah. So let's say a customer, let's say you're monitoring what's going on Yelp and Google and whatever. Someone checks and they say, oh, Mark's thing was really good, whatever the product is or thing that you offer. And then you reply, it's called lightweight consent. You reply, can I quote you on that? Mm-hmm. And they say, yes, stick it on all your marketing materials. Say, wow, I'd really love, you know, next time you come in, I'd love to talk to you about you and your kind of thing. So when you think like a journalist, that's how you create this kind of power. And then you create a library, and you want to have what we call a minion or a specialist that maintains this library for you, because you're a busy entrepreneur. Find someone. It could be your kid. It could be somebody who graduated at UCLA. There's lots of these people.
Hire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of working at McDonald's, they can work on your stuff.
Let's shift gears real fast here. What's the worst job you ever had? Have you had a worse job?
Man, probably for Philip Morris, I was part of the cigarette recall that was like 20 years ago.
What did that entail?
Well, they had some defective cigarettes from Marlboro, and we had to go.
What's a defective cigarette?
I don't know. Must have had like some. It was a
rat
recall.
Poison in it?
Like maybe the tobacco was old or something like that. So we had to go from store to store. I remember we were in, I think, Compton and East LA, and going from store to store, wearing my little badge saying, "Yep, I'm from Philip Morris," and I have to
take the cigarettes back.
Give me all your cigarettes. Yeah, wow, you can give me all your Marlboro cigarettes.
That couldn't have been easy to do.
Yeah, and then I'm sure all the bums are like trying to get our cigarettes from us. So I quickly learned that if you don't choose what you want to do, someone's going to choose for you. And I was just trying to make some money for summer, right? I didn't know any better.
So you just said a powerful quote. If you don't choose, somebody's going to choose for you. I feel like a lot of the times people just in life, they choose to go down the path of having a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people have let others choose the path that they're supposed to live because of the way it used to be. But I feel like with exponential change and technology and other things in life, I feel like there's a lot of new opportunities out there that people can capitalize on. You know, the majority of the workforce will be independent contractors soon. Mm. So what is your advice for the people out there who maybe have a 9-to-5 job right now? They're extremely passionate about entrepreneurship and want to have their own business. They're trying to connect the pieces, and they're listening to shows like this.
Yeah.
They just don't know what the right move is to make for them. What advice do you have for that person?
Be a keen observer of the passing world. When you're working another job, those contain the seeds to the next thing that you do, because you don't want to jump into something just because, oh, my friend does it and I want to try to do it too. That's a disaster. You want to start with where you have the connections. Where do you have the expertise? Where can you already start something? Can you moonlight maybe? A lot of people, so I won't say the name of the person, but someone famous yesterday called for some emergency coaching and said, oh, I'm not really happy in this current job. I want to do this other thing. And we said, well, you can actually do both. And in fact, if you're really good at what you do, you're going to be a good employee, ironically, at that job. At the same time, this builds your personal brand. So ironically, if you're going to start something else, be the best employee that you can, because that probably is going to align with your expertise, unless you're doing something that's so awful that you're just doing that to pay, you're like driving Uber or whatever. Right?
Yeah,
we know 40% of the jobs out there are contingent jobs. I mean, people are doing it part-time just because they're trying to make a little extra money. I'm not saying become an expert in Uber, but you certainly have some kind of expertise. Build that network. Don't be so quick to try to jump out. You know, Vaynerchuk talks about that too. You've got to moonlight. You got to work twice as hard, because you got to work two jobs in the interim until you can say, all right, I'm going to quit. Because you don't want to just quit and all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Have no cash flow to pay bills.
If you've got kids and a mortgage, be careful about that.
Powerful stuff. Dennis,
Thank you, Mark.
The myth, the legend. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
These are a few of the keys you need for success in running a small business, but they are also important attributes no matter what you are doing in life. I'm Alex Worley with Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, adaptability. As you roll out your enterprise, you'll discover that things you expected to work well don't work at all, and you'll stumble into things that you didn't expect to work that will. You'll have to adapt. Number two, persistence. You'll lose big customers. Good employees will leave your company, and some may become competitors. To succeed, you will have to be willing to persist through these difficult times. Nothing can take the place of persistence, and you can't succeed without it. Number three, work ethic. Running a small business is difficult. Your days will be much longer than 8 hours. If your week starts on Monday, you'll pass 40 hours on Thursday, but you won't slow down. You'll be on call 24/7. Success as an entrepreneur requires hard, hard work. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded Emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs, and phones a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Are you building your business to win? And how does business strategy and law play a role in that? Jessica Ullman, founder of the Vero Law Group, is here to help us on that topic. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jessica, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your company, the Vero Law Group, helps entrepreneurs and business owners with business strategy and law. So how can those things help a business owner win?
So in the big picture, and the question you ask, are you building a business to win? And I think each person has to get really clear on the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. Because if your answer is yes, and you're building a business to win, then every decision that you make in your company should be with the assumption that you're going to be successful. How does that play out as you're actually growing your business? Sometimes people come to me and they're trying to figure out, as they start their company, should they work with a business attorney to form their company, let's say. Mm-hmm. If you're building a business to win, the answer is, of course, you want to start a relationship with this key strategic advisor to your business. You need to understand how the law affects your business. What do you do with this company after it's been formed? All the places that a lawyer works with you that's beyond, let's say, forming your company online. And the answer is yes, of course. If you're not sure if you're building a business to win, you might be cutting corners and trying to figure out other solutions because you aren't sure that you'll be successful.
So what are some of the common mistakes you see people make? You do this every single day. This is what your business does. So when people come to you, either they already have this Gordian knot mistake they've already made you're trying to solve, or maybe they're just getting started. What are some of those mistakes you see them make?
So the biggest mistake, still talking about the big picture, is not thinking big enough. At this point, I have interviewed and spoken to over 1,000 people calling into my law firm about us potentially working together. And I ask everyone the same question, which is, if you could build any business that you want 3 years from now, but you had to describe it to me right now, what would it look like? And what I've found over time and getting all the answers to this question is that the only limitation that we have as entrepreneurs is how big we can think. So at this point, the way that someone answers that question, I could literally tell at least the maximum capacity that they have for success. So it's a completely different story if someone comes in and tells me, oh, I'll be making $100,000 in revenue and have an assistant, versus if they tell me I'm going to have $10 million in revenue and have 10 employees. That the decisions you make, the way you're thinking, everything you're doing starting from the exact same point is building towards a completely different result.
Well, I want to go into like a whole seminar with you right now just about how people can, you know, shift their mindset and take action and create the environments to help them succeed. But we're more focused right now on business strategy and law.
Yes.
What are some of those business strategies and tactics people can implement in their business so that they can win?
Okay. A big one would be with trademarks. So a lot of people think of a trademark as something that you get to protect yourself from other people using the name. And that's really important, of course, especially as you grow. But when you're first starting a business, my philosophy is that you should apply for a trademark immediately once you know your name.
In what context? Just for the name of my business?
For the name.
For the industry and niche or use of it?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So you apply for the words, trademark,
and
basic word. The logo would be second, but the words especially, and let me tell you why. Because you're about to invest tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands plus dollars in marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. And the worst result is to invest all that money over the next couple of years, open your eyes one day and say, you know what, we're at a point of success that I'm ready to apply for that trademark. You go to apply for the mark and it turns out you can't get the trademark because let's say it's too generic, or even worse, someone else has the right to use that mark. And they could potentially shut you out of using the words for your own business.
Yeah, so you got to get that trademark in place.
Got to get the trademark.
And if you're building your business to win, you got to think big. Founder of the Vera Law Group, Jessica Ullman's joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about building your business to win using business strategies and law. What are some of the things? We just talked about trademarks being one of them. What about contracts? I feel like a lot of people try to do things on a handshake these days, which is fine. I wish we could just operate that way, but you know we can't. So what about contracts? When should people use them? When should they invest money and time to get those for their business?
So ultimately, if you think about it, you actually have a contract with every single person you do business with. That's with clients, employees, contractors, anyone that you're touching in business, you have a contract with them. Now, what are the terms of those contracts? And that's where the written contract comes into play. And in an ideal world, you should be working towards having a written agreement with everyone that you do business with.
How can people make sure that they protect themselves when it comes to contracts so that they can make sure that just because they have a contract and they're signing it, they're actually protected? Because again, people will have you sign a contract and it's 40 pages deep. You have to hire an attorney for thousands of dollars to read it for you.
Yeah.
You say, screw it. I trust the person. I'm going to just sign it. Sometimes that gets people into trouble.
So the best strategy is to find an awesome business attorney who understands your business, understands the size of business that you have and the place you are in business, and can draft a contract for you and your company that is appropriate in length, but also tone. You know, some businesses are more casual and want to have a contract that sounds like we're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Other businesses want the formality. Maybe they're working with big corporations, and you need to have contracts for your business that are appropriate and also really feel like an extension of you on paper. So once you have customized contracts for your business, you can use those for your relationships. And then if you and I are doing business together and you give me a 40-page contract, let's say for a deal that's worth $30,000, I might just say, you know
what?
It's not
worth it.
Not worth it.
I've done that before too.
I've thought through my contracts and this over here makes sense to me and that doesn't. But it's not until I go through the process of getting really clear in my business on how I want my contracts to be set up that I'm really empowered to say something like that.
Two or three pages, like three to five max. Well, anytime somebody
we might argue about that, but well, it depends on the deal.
It's contextual. It's contextual. Okay. Yeah. But just, yeah, I mean, I've had people hand me 40, 50 page contracts, yeah. and I have some of the biggest, baddest attorneys in the nation on my side. And but they're not cheap, obviously. And, yeah. and I don't want, I just go 40, 50 pages, you're hiding something.
Too much.
And it's like, I don't want to do that.
Or they're just using someone else's contract and haven't really thought through it.
Yeah.
Because that's probably not appropriate for this size of deal.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I feel like if people want to get more information about you, where can they find you?
At verolawgroup.com. Awesome. And I also have the new course that we're launching. So wonderful. That's on a bigger scale, coursecorrected.com.
Okay, so verolawgroup.com.
Yes.
Awesome, Jessica.
Thank you.
For coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.